You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Our global innovator, Matt Hart, joins us in the studio. How are you doing this week?
I'm good, thank you, team. Kia ora. Everyone well?
Kia ora. Everyone is very well. The sun is shining.
Sun continues
Life
to shine.
Life is good.
Yeah.
Now, we've got an interesting... Sorry, I just realized your mic was actually not on Evie just then. Got an interesting topic today.
Well, we were talking last year about, you know, those numbers came out in terms of how many young people are having to move to Australia to feel like they can get a foot, a job, start to make their way forward. And we were going to pick up and talk about that, and we never really did. And so I thought it's a good time to bring it back and have a quick explore around that, because our own government here have come out for their Going for Growth plan, or at least the strategic plan that they've come out with, and the pillars that they're talking about. And so I thought it'd be a good chance to riff on that, because it will be top of mind for people who maybe finished university looking for a job, can't get a job, thinking where do they go, and they're jumping across the ditch.
Yeah.
Okay, so first quick question, and we've only got the numbers in terms of retrospectively a year ago. How many people do you think under the age of 25 left for Australia last year?
Oh, it's a quiz.
So before June.
Before June.
Oh, so it's like... Is it by percentage or, like, number of people?
You can actually get it down to a people, but people. Either.
You see, I'm scared to guess, because that would be, like, a gross exaggeration of what it actually is.
Yeah, because it could be way more. So they said 80,000 New Zealanders left.
That's a
lot. Oh, my God.
That would be June 23 to June 24. That's a lot of people.
That's
huge. But 56% of those left to Australia.
Yeah.
And over 40% of those were under 25.
Right, right.
Wow.
So there is a big drift.
Yes.
And you've got to ask yourself, what are they going there for?
Mm-hmm.
Evie, we were talking earlier, what are they going there for?
Well, we're talking about unemployment. Obviously, that's a huge thing at the moment here in Aotearoa. There's not enough jobs for people. People are being made redundant, and there's nowhere for them to go in New Zealand.
And we also talk about not enough full-time jobs as well. And certain industries are a bit more difficult to kind of get into, and we're also like a small country. So
we're a small country, and of course employers in it is a cost of living crisis. It is a tight economy right now. We know it's going to continue for this year. So employers aren't looking to invest to grow, to bring new people in, and looking at an uplift in their economy. So things are a bit static, although unemployment is growing. And then of course there's this existential threat of, what is AI going to do to my industry? And we hear a lot in the media, and a lot of business people will be picking up around automation, digitization, etc. Joel, we were talking earlier about how we have way too many coders and software engineers for the amount of jobs in the marketplace. AI is now automating a lot of that, so you have to be kind of a premium engineer to go and get that job. And that's why you start to see in the government's plan, in terms of, do we keep... So it's you can argue both ways. One is, I left the country, I got amazing expertise around the world, and now I've come back. Do we still foster that? Is that still part of New Zealand's culture, do you think? Do you think we still should nurture that?
Yeah, I think like it's, I don't know, I think it is important as an individual to expand your horizons and stuff. Like, I traveled to the UK for the first time last year. It was really, really good for me, and I definitely needed it. And I definitely would be curious to see what it would be like working outside of New Zealand, or even in a different city in New Zealand, you know?
Absolutely. I for one, would be young people, even my own kids, get out in the world, lead, you know, experience that, grow yourself, grow your talents, grow your experiences, and then if you want to bring them back to New Zealand, brilliant, come on back. What we don't have is brilliant onboarding pathways to bring people back.
Mm.
Like you see at the moment, China, which is a sort of canary in the coal mine for the demographic shift, so they're in a lot of trouble in terms of a plummet in their population. They are now paying PhD students, really smart students in America and the EU, to come home. So they're investing in their expats who have talent, who have smarts, who can bring that knowledge back to help, you know, offset the decline and also grow Chinese investment in AI and digitals and whatever they're doing around innovation. Is that something New Zealand should be exploring?
Yeah, potentially, yeah. Like, that would be a very interesting way to get people back into New Zealand. Yeah. I also think it's a lot more of a sort of gamble moving overseas. I mean, obviously most of our under 25s are moving to Australia. We have a large proportion of those also moving to the UK, and that's a long, long way from home.
It is a long way. It's not as easy to get a start in the UK anymore. Their economy's not doing fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all upside, is it? If you make a big decision to move countries and because you're looking for a job, you may find the same job economy in terms of getting going here, depending on your networks, where you land. You're not with your whānau anymore, or the community support and what you've got around it. So then you look at, well, what are we doing to really invest here? And this growth plan, I think, is interesting because it does talk about these sort of five or six pillars: developing talent, so enhancing and trying to retraining people for future skills, developing moving regulations, which is there's two sides to that, removing regulations and making it freer for people, for businesses to grow. You've probably seen in the media, there's a huge talk at the moment about trying to bring foreign investment down here.
Yeah.
And to actually bring that capital in to encourage partnerships and investments to do interesting things down here. And then they talk about innovation, technology and science, which is obviously something of real interest to me, and yet they go and close Callaghan, you know, in terms of their ecosystem that has been here and providing grants and early stage investment for companies. So it feels a mixed bag, right?
Yeah. Very, very. We were saying this before. It's kind of bleak in this job market at the moment, at least for especially for a lot of young people. You graduate university, and it's like there are part-time job offers, maybe, but you kind of need a full-time job to survive, you know, or multiple part-time jobs.
It feels like, you know, and everything's cyclical, isn't it? I remember when I came out of university and was at university. We were in the downturn in the early 90s. Felt very similar, and you just had to get your hustle on. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of thing of, Evie, you were saying earlier, yes, there seems to be a lot of part-time jobs out there. If you can't get a job, you're going to have to get multiple part-time jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, really interesting, when you're an employer and you're a founder and you've got a business and it's growing, you do need talent to come in and help you. So what are you looking for that person to get that job? And I've been reading some really interesting stuff that talks about now, it's not so much about your qualifications or the certificates you have. It's, is there something about you that I would love to have you come and be part of my business? That feels like, as we keep going on, this idea of technology and AI, that real human piece of you and who you are and what you can bring to a business, more than just your skills and your hands and your labor, what is it about you that they're really attracted to that they want you to join their business?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people, I mean, universities, I mean, the people attending university has gradually increased over time. I mean, I don't know about your high school, Evie, but my high school relatively pushed university quite a bit, as well as the trades. And I know a lot of high schools do it differently. It's like your only option is university. So you have a lot of people going to university, getting the same degree, and it's the whole thing of like what sets you apart from other people who have the same degree as you, the exact same papers, might have the exact same grades. What's different about you?
Academic inflation, Joel, you've nailed it there. So let us, as we come to the finish of this, let me ask you, the World Economic Forum have listed their top five jobs.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this.
In terms of over the next 5 years, what will be some of the big areas of employment that people will need? What do you think, out of everything we've just talked about, I'm going to put you on the spot here, is the number one job they say that will be in need over the next 5 years?
I'm going to say something to do with, like, digital stuff.
That's in the list, but digital, it's not the number
stuff.
One job.
Digital stuff.
Digital stuff.
Evie?
I'm at such a loss here.
Yeah, it's not an easy one. You wouldn't have picked it. They say it's farming.
Farming?
Food production.
We need more farmers.
Yeah, we need more farmers.
Ooh, maybe I'll retrain.
Love our farmers. Farming. So that's number one.
So number five was retail sales.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Sales, yeah. You know what I mean? In terms of people. So yes, you can get it all online and digital, Amazon, etc. But that human-to-human experience and interface that is the carrier of the service proposition, humans, right?
Yeah.
Of course, data, cybersecurity, the care industry, and farming.
Interesting. Oh, I did not wouldn't have expected that. But I mean, obviously farmers are so important.
Well, food production and as the environment, perhaps, you know, rain, drought, food science, quality, provenance, all regenerative farming is a big push in that space, all of those things. But we actually still need humans on the job doing the farming.
Interesting.
Growing the crops.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Matt. That was very awesome.
You.
Very
fantastic.
Interesting. And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Awesome.
Go ahead, guys.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.